You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Tomorrow morning on the Joy Cardine Show after 8, we get two perspectives on state and national news on the Week in Review with the latest on Hurricane Harvey's recovery, the state budget, and other top stories of the week. That's tomorrow morning after 8 on the Ideas Network.
Now, President Trump made a pitch this week for major tax reform, saying he wants to work with Congress on a plan. Here's the president speaking in Missouri.
So this is our once-in-a-generation opportunity to deliver real tax reform for everyday, hardworking Americans. And I am fully committed to working with Congress to get this job done. And I don't want to be disappointed by Congress. Do you understand me?
The president gave few specifics during his speech for sweeping tax overhaul, but he did seem optimistic that he could work with Congress to get something passed.
Chai Ching Wong is the deputy director of federal tax policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. She joins us now to dig into what we know about the president's push for tax change. Chai Ching, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I know we don't know. There's not a plan, really. There's not a lot of details out there. But from what the president has been saying, what kind of changes is he calling for?
So I think it's really, really pretty striking in that the speech really just repeated a number of the strong promises that we heard from him throughout the campaigns and in his administration. You heard from that clip just then that he's saying that tax reform should focus on raising the incomes of workers and their families, and not for those at the top, was something that he emphasized in his speech. And, you know, I agree, tax reform should prioritize working and middle-income families that have seen sluggish growth in their incomes in the past few decades. I think what's disappointing is that he did nothing to close the gulf between those promises and the actual specific policies that we have seen that he's announced that really wouldn't address the concerns of low and middle income people and would instead deliver a lot of tax cuts, costly tax cuts to those at the very top.
One of those tax cuts, and here's one where he did give a number, slashing the corporate tax rate down to 15%, down from 35%. I'll put an asterisk on 35%. I understand many corporations pay less than that. But what would that corporate tax rate change mean for businesses and the economy?
So I think that asterisk is really important. This is something he likes to point out, that that's a very high rate relative to other countries. And he's right when you look at the statutory rate, but the thing is, when you take into account all the tax breaks and loopholes that corporations pay, the actual U.S. corporate tax rate is very similar to other developed economies. So it's around about 28% for U.S. multinational firms, and that's pretty comparable to the 29% that other G7 developed countries pay. So when you take that into account, and when you look at the fact that corporations are doing pretty well in the economy at the moment, a lot of them are posting record profits and paying out a lot in dividends and share repurchases to their investors, a large corporate rate cut is really not a great way to go about creating jobs and growth. A lot of that cash would simply flow through to the hands of shareholders rather than be reinvested. And that is a really, really costly policy. That's a big part of his plan that would cost about $3.5 trillion.
Looking at the tax system as a whole, I think the word complicated is a fair word to use. There's a lot of moving parts. Is there a need, regardless of the details, is there some kind of need to simplify the tax system in the United States?
I think that most tax policy analysts and most people that sort of fill in their tax forms at the end of the year would agree that a simpler tax code would make a lot of sense. Unfortunately, that's another one of these areas where the promises don't match the policies all that much. There are a lot of good ideas for simplifying the tax code, but one of the headline policies from both the Trump administration and the congressional GOP would be to open up large new tax loopholes that would encourage new different shelters and complex arrangements to avoid the top income tax rate, because people would have an incentive to reclassify their income in order to get a new special tax rate that would apply to certain types of businesses. So again, it's one of these areas where the policy goals are really attractive and something that a lot of people can agree with. But unfortunately, all the detail that we've seen is a long way off it.
Chai-Ching Wong is with us from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, looking at the president's call for a major overhaul of the tax system. The details we know so far, the details we don't know so far. Chai-Ching, again, based on what we've heard from the president, what other impacts would this have on the top income earners, the wealthiest people in the country?
Well, they would do very, very well out of this plan. The estimates from the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center are that someone in the top 1%, that's someone that has an average income of $7 million each year, could see a tax cut of between $900,000 and $1.4 million, depending on which version of the Trump tax plan you look at. And then it's true that middle-income families would get a tax cut, but it really pales in comparison to what's going towards the top. Someone who's in the middle fifth of the income distribution, so has an income of about $58,000, they get a tax cut of about $700 to $2,000. So while the top 1%, 0.1% could see their incomes go up by a full fifth from the tax cuts, those in the middle would see their incomes go up by a few percent. And that doesn't take into account who ends up picking up the tab for the tax cuts, because eventually, if they're not paid for, either sooner or later, the deficits that they create have to be addressed.
Now, the argument from the president and others is that if we lower some of these high-end tax rates and this corporate tax rate, wealthy people, business owners are going to look on this world market and say, hey, the United States looks pretty competitive. I'm not going to get hit too hard with taxes. Things are simpler now. I understand what I'm getting into when it comes to taxes. I'm going to open up my factory in the United States instead of elsewhere. That ultimately is going to drive up incomes for middle and lower income Americans. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think it's important, again, to take a look at, you know, while there's no fully fleshed out bill, the president has put out tax policies, and one of the most recent things that he said that he would do, which is actually a reversal from something that he said in the campaign, is that for large multinational companies, companies that are based in the U.S., they would get a 0% tax rate on the profits that they earn offshore. So this would create a big incentive for those big multinationals, big tech companies, big pharma companies, to report their profits as having been earned not in the U.S. where they're selling most of their goods, but in some other country, in order to get that 0% tax rate. And there's even a greater danger that they could actually move their investment and jobs offshore in order to take advantage of that lower tax rate. So, again, I think the desire for a competitive tax system, the desire for jobs and growth is really, you know, a good policy goal. But looking at the details that we have seen, the gap remains between those promises and what the details are.
Again, from what we've heard, what do we know about how this would affect smaller businesses?
That's a really great question. So one of the key proposals that both President Trump and the congressional Republican leadership have made, a centerpiece of their tax plans, is a special low tax rate that they're saying is for small businesses. It's for so-called pass-through income that's reported on individual tax returns. And they say that this is a really important thing for small businesses. Again, looking at the details, though, most small businesses are, in fact, already small, so they already face lower tax rates. And more than 98% of them wouldn't get a benefit at all from this new special tax cut. Instead, most of the income that would get this new tax cut is earned by hedge fund managers, lawyers, consultants, investment managers, big real estate investors who hold most of that pass-through income and are in the top tax brackets at the moment.
One issue that's been bouncing around out there for, I don't know, at least 20 years, probably longer, is the estate tax. Is that something that's covered in what the president has said?
Yes, he has repeatedly said that he would repeal the estate tax. Again, this is portrayed by both the president and by congressional Republican leaders who also want to repeal the estate tax as something that would be very beneficial for small businesses and for farmers. The reality is, though, that at the moment, the estate tax exempts the first nearly $11 million of the value of an estate. So if you're a couple, you have to have more than $11 million to even face the tax. So it only benefits households with incomes above that level. And at the moment, that's the richest 2 out of every 1,000 estates in the country. Estimates from the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center is that those estates only include 50 farm or business estates every year, and that there has been no instance that a number of different investigative reporters have been able to find of any farm or small business actually having to be sold in order to pay the tax. So this is really about the heirs of the very wealthiest estates in the country rather than real farm and small business estates.
Chai-Ching Wong is with us from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We're looking at the next steps in the proposed overhaul of the U.S. tax code.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to be done to simplify the tax code? Would a lower corporate tax rate be good for the economy and for workers? Let us know by calling 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now about a possible overhaul of the U.S. tax code. President Trump on the campaign trail, in effect, calling for big changes in taxes in the United States. Chai-Ching Wong is with us. She's Deputy Director of Federal Tax Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What challenges do you think lie ahead as the GOP tries to change the country's tax system? Do you think lower taxes on American businesses would lead to higher wages for workers? And what would help you and your family when it comes to taxes? You can join us at 800-642-1234 or by posting at the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's go to our callers now. Terry is on the line in Green Bay. Terry, hi.
Hi. My thought, and I've been mulling over this for months, and I don't know why, but Republicans want tax reform. Democrats want, better health care. Why can't this be part of a big grand bargain and actually have a serious conversation about these two things? Because if we keep going back and forth idealistically on both sides of Democrats want this and Republicans want that, if we don't come to the middle on both of these topics, we're going to keep fighting each other over the same things over and over again.
Terry, thanks a lot for the call. I mean, do you see maybe a good compromise package out there, Chai-Ching, that if both sides were able to get together, we could have something that A, simplify the tax code, and B, help lower and middle-income Americans, as the president says he wants to do?
I think over the years there have been some common areas where there have been overlap. But unfortunately, what we see going into this round of an attempt at tax reform is that congressional Republican leaders have been very clear that they are going to try to move this on a partisan basis. So they're setting up to use a process through Congress called reconciliation. And all that really means is that they can pass it through Congress without a single Democratic vote in the Senate. That really relieves the pressure to try and build a bipartisan package. And we haven't really seen any attempt at a bipartisan tax package at this stage.
Thanks for the call, Terry. We'll go next to Charlie on the line in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks so much. My comment, although I loved the previous caller, what he just said, about people getting together and compromising and doing some big things for the country. Again, Donald Trump can't sign legislation that he's not given. It's Congress that's broken. Congress is a swamp, and we need to drain the swamp of people who won't compromise and won't bring things forward. I mean, Donald Trump is trying to do health care. The tax thing should be easy. We should get it done. And it should be a bipartisan compromise because that's the best thing for the country. Thanks so much.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Maybe not as easy, though, at least given what Congress looks like now. Chai-Ching, are there examples we can look to in the past where Congress has made an effective change to the tax code that could apply today?
Look, there have been bipartisan packages in the past in which there have been tax packages enacted that do the sorts of things that would actually meet the promises that President Trump set out in his speech, focusing on working and middle-income families. Both Republican and Democratic presidents have signed into law tax bills that increase tax credits for working families that would directly boost their incomes rather than relying on corporate tax cuts to trickle down to them. So that's the sort of solution that I would like to see Congress and the president focus on. Again, unfortunately, the plans we've seen to date have not gone in that direction. The other thing I would just like to note in response to that caller is that actually in the tax area in particular, there is a lot of commonality between what the Republican Congress is laying out in its tax plans and what President Trump has called for. So both of their plans have large cuts in the corporate tax rate. Both of them would create a 0% rate for foreign profits. Both of them would cut the top tax rates for high-income families, and that's where the bulk of their costs would go. So this is a case where actually, at least from a policy perspective, the president and the Republican Congress are very much on the same page.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Chai-Ching Wong is with us from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, looking at the prospects for a major overhaul of the tax system. President Trump calling on Congress to get rolling on that. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'd very much like your expert to comment on my statements. I'm rejecting the previous caller's comments. The last 25 years in American economic policy have been what Jesse Jackson used to call Robin Hood in reverse. We have seen a stagnation of wages and income of middle income and working class families and a vast increase of the wealth of the upper crust of the United States. It is specifically seen by the change of 6,000 in the Dow to 21,000 with no benefit to the working Americans. I'd be interested in your guest comments on that.
Jim, thanks for the call. Chai-Ching, what do you think?
I agree, and that's why I think there's a lot in what President Trump laid out as his policy goals for people to be attracted to, because he does identify the fact that there has been that stagnation in low and middle income households. The problem is that the policy prescription that he's laid out is really more of the same trickle down that we've seen really not work previously. After the large tax cuts under President Bush, job growth was weaker than under the tax rates that were moderately higher under President Clinton, for example. And we've seen it recently in Kansas, where large tax cuts flowing to the top did not deliver the promised supercharged growth. And in fact, Kansas's economy lagged behind its neighboring states and the nation. And what happened in the end was that to fill those deficits, Kansas actually had to cut or delay investments in things like infrastructure and education, closing schools after 4 days in the week in order to make up that budget shortfall. And that's not the sort of thing that strengthens the economy or creates jobs or stronger wages for working Americans.
Jim, thanks for the call. I wanted to talk about the federal deficit issue. Again, based on what we've seen so far, what would you see as the deficit impact if these tax cuts aren't balanced out by other revenue or by spending cuts?
Yeah, that's really, I think, the big problem for working and middle-income Americans. It's not what's offered in the particular tax package up front, but if there are trillions of dollars being spent on tax cuts for corporations and very high-income people, the question is who pays for that in the end. President Trump's tax plans would cost between $3.5 and $7.8 trillion over 10 years, depending on which version of his plan you look at. And about a third to two-fifths of that goes just to millionaires. So the overall tilt and cost is really big. The Congress could, in the process that they're about to embark on, choose to try to offset some of that cost by scaling back loopholes and other tax breaks. We haven't seen any specific policies that would cover that cost, unfortunately. So then the question is, does the does the burden of filling that hole come onto the spending side of the budget? And what we've seen in President Trump's budget and the GOP budget is that there are deep, deep cuts in domestic investments, things like things like infrastructure over the long run that would be cut, things like education, job training, a whole range of priorities that help the economy. And even if they were to put the tax cut on the deficit to start with, that deficit hole has to be filled eventually, and that will create pressure for cuts or underinvestment in the future.
Chai Ching, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Chai Ching Huang. She's Deputy Director of Federal Tax Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. She joined us for a look at the president's call for a major overhaul of the tax system. He is leaving a lot of the details to Congress. You can still share your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page. What do you hope to see happen? What are you worried about? What kind of changes would you like to see? What would you not like to see? Share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, a look at the latest news in the ongoing Russia investigation with new revelations about contacts between Russia and members of the Trump campaign team and the involvement of a state attorney general in the investigation.
We'll find out how working dogs are helping to protect livestock around the state of Wisconsin.
And on Food Friday, our guest chef will be on hand to tell us how to grill seafood, making it delicious without burning it and making the last little bit of grilling season come alive.
Hopefully they can help overcome some of my fears about grilling. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.